Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. And yes, we are glad in it. Happy Sunday to all. You are now tuned in to the High Praise Cathedral Live, located right here in Inkster, Michigan, with Pastors Bishop Clarence and Prophetess Joyce Hatton. And we just thank God for all of you tuning in right now. We want to give a shout-out to all of Africa from A to Z. God bless you. To all of those that are here in the USA, we want to say God bless you. Also to all of you all that are in Italy and the UK, over in the Caribbean, Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, Tobago, Hong Kong, China, everywhere around the globe, Switzerland, Australia, Brazil, Mexico, everywhere that is listening in right now, we just want to say God bless you. We're going to take you into the sanctuary right now where you will hear a great and powerful service, and also Bishop Clarence Hatton will be bringing you the word of God. God bless you.
I'm
And I know that we here won't see what I want to see. You can't fall with the idea of God. now, oh Lord, this offering. And I recognize that. But there are times I don't have as much as I was usually have. My tithe is sometimes your tithe can be. But then when the time's going here, be there. Don't play with God. On whatever level God puts you on, be on the level God has placed you on, and he won't ever forget you. She said to me, well, 9 years have been gone, and she said, you know what? I do a financial fast. So what? Supernatural fast. Supernatural.
Be a shepherd. Be a blessing. Another one said, shouldn't there be a struggle for believers to do what we're about to do? We all must do it wholeheartedly. And we've been blessed to see a new year. As I said yesterday, we bury two men in God and then get a chance to venture into 2014. By the way, I thank God for Sister Brown. I haven't seen her for a while. And I thank God for Deacon Pearl. I haven't seen him for a while. And thank God for my young man who drives a long way to get here. I haven't seen him for a while. God is good anyway. Isn't that right? Let us all pray. Oh, gracious and eternal God and Father, once again we thank you for your mercies and your grace demonstrated unto each of us. You've been mindful and kept us and allowed us to get into this year 2014. What shall we do for all the benefits unto us? You've stated in your word that we should take the cup of salvation and call upon your name. And your name is great and shall always be great. We come now to worship you and give as unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Together and praise God one more time. We have talented athletes. And today, one of our young ladies who demonstrate grace, our big grandmother came to me and told me just one is going to be demonstrating the grace, and we look forward to what she showed up for us today. Let's receive Ty at this time.
Oh,
Let's see if it's me again. It's good to have young people active in ministry. All of the young people that are scheduled for youth church below you, they go now. Parents, now you can release your children to go to the lower level for the continuation of worship on their level. They can appreciate and grateful for the directors who take care of that for us. As I was saying before, I'm thankful for the talent that we have here. I pray it's the biggest faith. Did you know there are several young people that don't have a church that's getting in trouble and need to be here with us doing what she's doing? There's many young people in this area. The statistics show that Inkster has been really, really plagued with youth murder. And that's serious because that means our future is at hand. We don't have a hope because those who would rise up to continue are now sleeping. And we need to do all we can to get a hold to them before Satan get a hold to them. And that's what I mean. Encourage you to do, bring others with you, that we can do what we can to help save, if nothing else, help save Easton. Detroit has pastors and churches throughout the area, but we need to be concerned about our community. If we don't do nothing about it, who else will? And so I'm a pastor that was raised here in Easton. My father brought me here in 1945. And I started kindergarten in 46. And I graduated two semesters late because I kind of got upset in elementary school. But I persevered and got my diploma in 1959. Graduated the class in 1959 along with my brother. And so I want to encourage us to stand by children. And we need to also put emphasis, brother, on education. I'll say it again, because I know you don't see the middle on tape. We need to put more emphasis on educating our children to prepare them to be competitive globally, not just getting by. You know why they're closing down schools in our areas? Because they don't want our children to get the quality education. So they bring them to their area where they can limit them in the studies they should have. So they won't be able to compete. They were caught by surprise. Politics was caught by surprise. And what they feared the most happened when an African American stepped in the White House. They feared that the most. So now they said, oh, we can't let that happen again. Let's limit their education. Let's take away their ability to compete. But we should be more determined now to make sure that it happens again. And whether you believe it or not, I believe that this young man who's in the White House now has done a splendid job under the circumstances. There's no questions about it. Everything they can do to discredit him has been attempted. And I'm not a Muslim and I'm not a racist. I just deal with truth. This man is the most disrespected as a president of the United States of America than any president that's ever been in the White House. Can we get an amen to that? Everything he's trying to do, improve, they do everything they can to discredit him. How many of us know that all of us need medical help? We need medical coverage. Now, many of us have gone through our parents before us, going through life without medical coverage, faced with bills and debate. Don't give you an opportunity to compete because they don't want you to have the kind of lifestyle they have. Now, that's why I say encourage your children to be the best that they can be. Because if you don't, when you look up, it'll be the low total pole in the city on that. And I don't want that to happen. I'm not worried about myself or my wife because we lived our lives and enjoyed America. But we have children. And we have grandchildren. We have great-grandchildren. I don't want them to live any less than us. I want them to live better than us. And if we educate our children, they will live better than us. Would you like for your son to be a senator one day or your daughter to be a doctor, lawyer, controlling the way things go? We should be tired of being the last to know anything. We should work hard making sure it doesn't happen. I'm so happy to see some of our faces we haven't seen today. Let's break that subject. I'm glad to see Sister Tara. I've been here for a while, and I've been sister with her, and Sister Sutton Quincy. Her husband is the one that was elevated to a sergeant on the police force, and that means he's in a position that she and her children can live better. He has a better opportunity to educate his children. And then I'm glad to see Deacon Burrow. I picked up the phone several times during the Christmas season. I couldn't get through to you. I just wanted to wish you a glorious Christmas season and a wonderful, prosperous new year. I already know that because you're saved. God's going to bless you. God's going to give you great blessings. And I have found you since you've been here. You're not a man I respect a person. I know you're not prejudiced. I know you know I'm not prejudiced. And to come out here and sit with all of us black folks, that means you really see me. Just give my hand. Come on now. You guys a whole lot of white folks to come out here. That's why y'all want to be the lucky man this time you see. And he's not a Jim Crow teacher. He's a real sanctified Holy Ghost filled. Come on. My wife and I got a little taste of what's like here in an area that you're not supposed to be. We went to the Dearborn Inn on last night for a dinner to celebrate 50 years of one of our bishops pastoring. 50 years. And we went out there with great expectation to be a blessing to him. My wife put on her finest, and I put on the best I could. Because, you know, they're always going to be finer than us, you know. She put on her finest, and we went into this hotel, and we could try to get information where to go. They said, oh, you go down the hall, and you go down on the ambush. Get on the elevator and go to the third floor. When we got on the third floor, they looked at us like somebody had to rob us. as fine as she was and as late as I was, they thought we was up to do something wrong. I said, no, we're here for a dinner for 50 years. She's not here tonight. I said, okay, fine. Yeah. So we found out it was last the night before. So we were all dressed up for nothing. It's a valet parking. But you know, they were still nice. They didn't come with my valet parking. I didn't ask for it. When he finally heard it from the oldest last night, he just immediately stopped me. Nothing was wrong. But they could have kept it. But just think, what I'm trying to say to you is that we need to understand and know where we are and what's really going on. You don't know less than anybody else. Praise the Lord. Carry yourself like that, too. Don't carry yourself like that. You carry yourself like you're somebody. Man, I have a dime in your pocket, but act like it. because actually you're rich. The reason why you're rich is because our Father is rich. He just don't have a bankroll, but he holds the whole world in his hand. You got to act like a child of God when you appear so much. My daddy got it all. Amen. And so I want to encourage you all to do all you can in 2014 to be your very best. Don't sit around and wait for somebody to help you. Anyway, let's try to love each other and help one another. My subject today is, if we turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a good model for the church. It brings the church into reality, and I will say I'm not going to work as hard as I always do work because the doctors is watching me, and it's known that I was in the hospital Christmas Day, and I want to live out my life of expectancy, and I want to everybody I talk to about my life. Let me know that they ain't ready for me to go nowhere. Everybody's saying, "Oh, Bishop, you got too much time." Now, if Bishop Brill met me out in the parking lot one back in the summer, said, "Bishop, you talking about some nanny?" He said, "Nanny, God promised you 120 years old." Now, he ain't trying to tell you, I suppose. He said, "The Holy Ghost said you could be that old." It's good, but when you've done your work, then it doesn't matter at what time it is. Yeah. You should spend your life pleasing God. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have two readings on that. From the NCV Bible by Nelson, which is kind of everyday language. We can understand it for those who are not inclined. We'll just kind of read from that. It says in that particular passage, if you have it, say amen. I may speak in different languages of people or even angels, but if I don't have love, I'm only a noisy bell and a crashing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all the secret things of God and have all knowledge. I may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even if all these things, if I do not have love, then, turn the page here, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have. I may even give my body as an offering to be burned, but I gain nothing if I do not have love. Then it gives the characteristics of love. Love is patient, kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It's not proud. Love is not rude. Is not selfish, does not get upset with others. Love does not count of wrongs that have been done. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always remains strong. Love never ends. There are gifts of prophecy, so they will be ended. There are gifts of speaking in different languages, but those gifts will stop. There is the gift of knowledge, but it will come to an end. The reason is that our knowledge and our ability to prophesy are not perfect. But when perfection comes, the things that are not perfect will end. When I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I stopped those childish ways. it is the same with us. Now we see a dim reflection as if we were looking into a mirror. But we shall see clearly now. I know that only a part. And when I will know fully as God has known me, so these things continue forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all these is love. Now, other than that, let's stay on that same chapter. I'll read for the King James version. It's just a number of reflection. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have my charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long, kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeth not her own. It's not easy to provoke it. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, it shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. And that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Everybody say love. So turn to somebody and say, I love you. Whether you love me or not. I love you. Whether you hate me or not. I love you. And you best love me. Because if we don't love, say, if we don't love, we're simply nothing. God bless you, may be seated. Hear me, if you will. Give me your undivided attention for a moment. In my research of this, the reason and the motive for this passage, I come to know that the Corinthian church was like a childish church. They had all the gifts. They had accomplished many great things. God had blessed them. If you read chapter 12, you discover chapter 12 tells you everything that God had given them. But when I looked at the Corinthian church's whole thing, it gave me to understand the situation. Some parts of these worship services became in times of selfishness. Some part of the service, they were bickering. They had a lack of respect and concern for others, undermining each other. They had to do it together to worship. Then Paul then comes to understand that tells the permissions of the church. In spite of all of your accomplishments, in spite of all of the gifts that God has given you, if you are in this state of mind, if you are selfish toward each other, and you're bickering with each other, and you're finding fault with each other, and you're sending nasty emails to each other. See, these cell phones, this was because of this God. Back in the day when we were coming along, you had to be a upright, top-right gossiper. But now folks sit up in the church with cell phones and gossip while the service going on. And they say all kind of things to each other. You know what? No matter what role you play in the church, be it missionary, be it choir member, be it deacon, be it minister, evangelist, the Lord says to the Corinthian church, and I say to today's church, everything you do means nothing to God. Out of all of the things you did today to get dressed to come here, to spend money to buy gas, God said, I don't receive it. It means nothing to him. To come in and not be on one accord, you're in violation of what was required when the church was first visited on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that they were in one place. First of all, they were together. Everybody say together. We are together in this place, but we need to be not double-minded or not disrespectful to each other, but we need to understand and know that we're serving one God. Am I right? And we need to be of the same mind in order to get the attention of that one God. They were in the upper room in expectation of a visitation. And when they came together, now I would agree with you, it took them some time. It didn't happen overnight. I think maturity comes over time. Everybody's not where they should be. See, some of us are still at the childish stage. That's why Paul said, as he finishes his allocates to the church, he says, when I was a child, because the church was acting like children. When you're different and bickering, sometimes literally fighting in the church, he said, that's like a child. And he was to children. Now, he was not talking to babies here. He was talking to mature adults who were acting no different than children. Sometimes we find that they children, adults are just as much a part of the problem as children. Adults, like, agree with what the child is doing. Even though the child is wrong, we have to understand that we are examples to our children. If we were not the example to the children, then Proverbs need to be torn out the scripture. In Proverbs, it says, train up a child. He is not talking to children. He's talking to adults. Train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's old, not depart from it. I can recall when I was growing up in school, many times when children were recommended in school, the parents would have a merit to come up and want to have a word with the teacher for recommending their bad child. My child don't do that. My child don't say that. No, you lie on my child. The teacher wouldn't have had to take that measure if the child wasn't doing it. Our children sometimes do things that we don't know about.
Oh, if you only can see the things children do behind your back,
then you never stand behind a child till you find out the fact. You cannot be so in love with your child that you don't want to own up to maybe their mistakes outside of your eyesight. I can talk about that a little bit. And my brother David had it in the presence today. He would tell you, my daddy trusted us with his car. But many times when he had this brand new Mercury, and my other brother had his daddy's brand new Ford, we were out drag racing our daddy's car. If my daddy would have seen that, he would never let me drive it again. If somebody told Elder Andrew, your son and I had a fellow of drag racing, he probably said, bring that car home for the key, I'm going to ask me for it again. We do things behind our parents' backs that they don't know about. So we have to understand our children are not perfect, and they need to be corrected. We need to be corrected. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Y'all don't like this next quote. But the rod of correction guardeth his far from them.
you heard me talk about many times how when I was out of order, my mother would bring me back in order. And I would hate them, not just myself, we found out order because my mother knew how to tell me to step in the room that I slept in and take off all your clothes. And I'm not going to whip you on those clothes that your daddy is out there, poor mother coming and working hard while you somewhere acting crazy. So take them all. And I'll be in the room in a minute. I don't care how long it took. I don't care how many phone calls you got. I don't care if she had to go outside to talk to the mailman. I was in the room waiting because she was not going to let me get away with that. And she never went along with me when I did something wrong. If the neighbor up the street who she didn't get along with came and said, Miss Hannah, Bernard was doing this until they get in the house. I'm going to teach you how to act right. That neighbor just was, you know, she had a word with that neighbor. And if that neighbor told her son did something, she come and talk to me about it and then dealt with me about it. But nowadays, our parents are trying to back out too. They're on the phone, sending messages on the phone, all kind of. I read some of the messages in my office, and some of these children are sending to each other on the phone. And if your parents knew that you were doing that, if they were real parents, they would reprimand you for it. These cell phones we be taking out of the hands of some of these children. And if we find that they're handling them, we need to discipline them and take them from them until they know how to handle them. They send a message to boyfriend is supposed to be. You ain't got no boyfriend if you hardly wet behind the ear. How you gonna have a boyfriend? No boyfriend can't be no more than 15 years old. He's not responsible. If you became impregnated, he wouldn't know what to do with your baby. And he don't even know what he's doing when he got you pregnant. Anytime a boy, 15 years old, is pregnant with a girl, first of all, he don't even know nothing about sex. That's just what I call a horrible mistake. Going through some act that you don't know nothing about. And we need to train up our children, let them know there's a time and a place for these things. Your child should not be talking about no sex until she gets married. And when she gets married, sometimes she needs to be told how to have sex. I wish this was on national television. Let's take love from the flesh. When a person gets pregnant, the act of love is done out of your passionate feelings toward one another. First of all, a young lady don't even know about no passion. She's going on her flesh. Young man going on his flesh. When he gets through that little 5-10 minutes he did what he did. Now you got a lifetime problem on your hands. I'm going to ask you, am I preaching today? And we got to wait on somebody downtown to give you a little milk for the baby. He can't even go get no doctor. He don't even have a job. He don't have nothing. He ain't never call himself a player and call each other dog. That's what they are, dogs. You pregnant about dogs. Because he got, not only you pregnant, but he got several others pregnant. I hear him bragging about the man, I got 10 children. I got 5 on each side, I got 2 on each son, I got 4 on each horse. Just dogs. Then they call you the B word. Now what are you accomplishing? You're bringing a child in the world and don't know how to raise the child. You're still a child yourself. You're in a melody grand that could never become a reality. Now, let's get back to the church. Folk have got children that's acting up like this. You can't go along with that. To go along with that is creating more problems. You need to get that child somewhere to themselves and tell them the reality of life. And then let them know, you're not going this way. I don't care who Susie goes with, you ain't going this way. You're going to wait till you better graduate from high school or anything before you go anywhere from yourself going somewhere. The Corinthian church had some issues. I read the history because it says that they were people that had petty issues. Your baby called my baby Paul and I hate you. Your baby called my mom Susie Q. My mom ain't no Susie Q. And the family's involved. And you just want to have the Holy Ghost. You say you speaking in tongues, got the Holy Ghost, everything going for you, but yet you ain't got your house in order. You don't even probably respect your husband. Husbands don't respect their wives. All kind of craziness going on. And we say, you need to get down to business and learn how to treat one another before you get to worshiping God. If y'all want to vote for another pastor, I just do it, it's okay. I go somewhere to Florida or go to California with my sons and enjoy the rest of my life. Say, Lord, I did what I supposed to. And I ain't got time to play with foolishness. And you need to say, as of today, 2014, I'm not going along with foolishness anymore in my house. What's right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. Here are some people, spirit-filled in the church, don't know how to treat one another. I had somebody tell me, they said, you know, Bishop, I came to your church, but other people, I got something wrong with them. They act like they're evil. They don't get along with nobody. You try to give them something to do, and they start working against you. They start going against you. If I appoint somebody to do something to the group, then all the folks out here work against the people that come from somewhere else. But let me tell you one thing. Bishops and prophets didn't come from Detroit for 16, 18 years for foolishness to reign in a place where we preach and teach in righteousness. You got to get it together. You got to get it together or else you transfer to a foolish church. Because my place is not a foolish church. Go somewhere else with your foolishness. I don't need your time. I don't need your office. Get to your own shack and no contract no more. Church got to be the church. This is not a playhouse. And if anybody coming here, don't you lie on these people in here. Because you have a reason to lie. Don't you tell a lie on our folks. Don't you say, sister, that's not my anointing. Don't you put your lie on God's people. I ain't talking about myself and my wife. But we have been with that storm for years. He can all back that day. We have been with that storm for my first church. But we're still here. You can't stop God's anointing. You can't stop God. You just on somebody that's the run to do God's will. When you need to do what you do, we'll still be here. When you need to talk about your own house, we'll still be here. I'm just going to tell you, I ain't going nowhere. I will lift up the name of Jesus as long as I live. For God I live and for God I die. And this message today is a warning factor. Because if you come in my office anymore with foolishness, I'm going to send you out the door. We ain't got time for that. We trying to build a church. We trying to lift up the name of Jesus. We ain't got time for foolishness. If you still want foolishness, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong pastor. Don't put up with that foolishness. I am not that person. My name is Clarence from our hands, full of the Holy Ghost, and ain't together no different. I'm almost finished. Let me show you. You see my name on the marquee? You see my name on the marquee out there that says Clarence B. One day I decided, I said, why did my mom and daddy name me Clarence Bernard? And I got to work early. I went to work early, Brian.
Yes, sir.
And I pull out a knowledge of names. I don't know if my mother and father knew what they were doing, but they named it Clarence Bernard. And I looked up that analogy. Clarence is symbolic to the lion. Amen. I don't know what my daddy and mama was talking about. It's clear. Means the lion. And it is so say, what does the lion mean? It's the king of beasts. You're messing with the king, y'all. And then they turned around and said, the next name was Bernard. I said, what does Bernard mean? I looked up and said, it's symbolic to the bear. And so God said to me in the Holy Ghost, spirit like the woman of my job, he said, I named you Power Pop. Not with the Holy Ghost, sir.
Jesus.
Brings that back to me. I hear God said 91. So there's somebody If you hear this and you heard it when I said 91, then move quickly. There's somebody that believes it and believes God said it. Amen. Move on it quickly. Don't fight it. You feel like God is saying that you are right in a place where you need something supernatural. You know God's calling you, and you will move on this faith mover. Move, shaking belief and faith in God. 91. Only there's three, so God will attend. Lord God, pray for the bishop. I'm hearing this. I hear 91. Somebody said that kind of faith. What are you? There's three people. Three of you. That has $91, you can write a check. You can go and get it. You can do it. Then I missed it. And you should don't miss it. Fresh. You don't miss it. Shabbat. And God said, I'm telling you, I usually don't listen. I've been doing this 46 years. The thing moving, shaking. God said, in the 2 weeks, it's going to do. God will do this. There's one more person that should be on. That's all you have. Well, who's the next one? That's where you want. Jesus, like only God can do. I'm telling you, there is a major. Whatever this is, it's like almost, I'm looking at it like a toy with something stuck in it. And only the person that has the ability to wash it and push it down and push it through. So I'm saying they call it a snake. They stick it down in a place that's been stopped up. I'm not telling you it's a literal toilet, but it looks like it's been held up, it's been stuck, and it's been a demonically placed in position to hold you up. God said he's going to clean it up. In the name of Jesus, somebody give God praise. I promise you God will do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the truck with the stuff in it is coming. The stuff with the truck coming. Come on, shut up. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about it will appear as this pad of it. Come on, they won't shut. God is moving by his power. Hallelujah. I saw a stamp and a seal being put on some paper. And some paperwork. Just like that. Stamped and approved. That's the kind of miracle we're going to believe for. We seal in the deal in Jesus' name. You won't have to go through what you thought you were going to have to go through, and the move won't have to be like you thought it was going to have to be. And wherever the devil has plotted and planned, they won't be able to handle it. I promise you, God's got to cut. You might as well start praying. Hallelujah. Because something very bad. I don't understand it because it don't make sense. But God said, praise me on the don't make sense. Victory that's about to drop in your life. Hallelujah. Everybody else, in this moment, you know that's prophetic. Sometimes when I feel in this name, in the secret place, or the Most High, the body of the shield of the Almighty, will stay long in my refuge, I promise you. God will always get to me, but what he do? I've seen people get $100,000. God knows it's the truth. But give it 91. So God will always tell me 91. I believe when he tells me 91, he's getting ready to shift. All right. Everybody else, just simply just put something in your hand, hold up, just like this. I'm praying that it will be touching. I'm praying that it will be $10 touching evangelism. go get it. Everybody else, get something in your head just like this. Prayer will be, I heard 10. God said, and when he said, tell them that the 10 is the command. He said, when you come and you put $10 in the thing, I command. Whatever it is you're giving me, whatever you're working on, whatever you're doing, I command it. But there's a hold up, there's a businesses, there's a blockages that will be released this year that will be credited for some stuff that was never done in front of me. I want you to command it. You don't believe that you say, I command it to be loose. Don't you call me, you on your own command, on your own spirit. You command it. And Jesus said, God is up to something. Command it, command it. Somebody said, I command it, I command it. I command it, I command it. I command it, I command it. I command it. Open your mouth and say, command it. This is a command. The Lord said, command it. Command it. I'm telling you, if you want it, I want you to put a command on here. Why did I give it to you? The God said, all you got to do is command. The other day, I commanded the person. The other day, I was dealing with a situation. We have been dealing with it about 5 years, and we couldn't get no breakthrough. And every time I talk about it, I would say, well, this is complaining. Bless you, precious. I come out of shape. Hallelujah. But the day I spoke to Bishop, who was right along, and I said, if they be God's children, and if they be God's anointed, and if they be what I had to do to deal with this, it was not evil. I command change, and it's going to change the very way, and the very manner, and the way that it's dealing with this thing. And I promise you before God, it was 24 hours. I got a supernatural change. Instead of complaining and saying, hey,
praise the Lord, everybody. We thank you all for tuning in on today. Once again, happy Sunday. God bless you. Tune in on tomorrow to the Angel on Deck show. I'm telling you, we're going to have a high time. in the Lord, and also you will hear great music and more from our great artists from around the world. Happy Sunday once again. Always know that God loves you and that the angel of melody, angel on deck, loves you too. God bless.